Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve and it's Mark Langdon to guide you through this week's proceedings. Mark Langdon comes into this show off the back of a successful nap last week, hence why I'm wearing green. Mark, I thought I'd see you in your sort of finest yellow jumper or something to celebrate all things Norwich City.
Well, you know, once it's done and won, I move on. You know, I was cheering on Ipswich, like all good Norwich fans, on Tuesday. Now, my loyalties don't lie sort of at the same place for very long.
But it's a real shame that, Mark, because, you know, me and a lot of my friends in the Barclays stand at Carrow Road on Saturday were cheering on after I said, oh, you know, Racing Post top tipster has put us up and they're all offering to buy you a drink. Now you're saying your loyalties have changed the blue and white of East Anglia.
That's the life of a punter. We apart from obviously my dear love of Tottenham Hotspur, the rest are, you know, very, very much transactional.
How's things with you? A busy sort of Champions League week. We've got Cheltenham next week, haven't we? I know that doesn't affect your side of things too much, but it always feels busy sort of March and April, and I guess May as well.
Yeah, I think now we're getting to that stuff. I mean, Champions League obviously a bit of felt pretty dead really this midweek. Wasn't a vintage lot of Champions League fixtures. And I think the fact that I switched over very early on from the sort of events at the Allianz from Bayern Munich to sort of watching the EFL. Love the EFL at this stage of the season. Like, if you look at the bottom of the championship, absolutely ridiculous. About 8 teams, isn't it, separated by 2 points. You know, everything to play. So many teams have got something to play for in the EFL. I just think this is a brilliant time of the season. There's always midweek games, as you know, they obviously play midweek anyway, but you're catching up as well, aren't you, with like postponements from the rest of the league. And it's just brilliant. And when we get to Easter and there's a double header on the Friday and the Monday, can't wait for it.
Yeah, really excited. Look, we'll have Dan Childs joining us later.
Yeah, I don't want to tread on these toes. I'm treading on Charles's toes.
For his EFL picks. Well, we might get him to give a sort of Premier League selection and he can have the same back, Mark. If there's big games in the EFL and certainly big games in the Premier League as well, we have a title race game this weekend between Liverpool and Manchester City. Liverpool 15-8, 11-4 the draw, 6-5 Manchester City. This one at 4:15 on Sunday, Mark. It's a big game, this.
I mean, you're downplaying it, call it a big game. Feels, I would say, like, never want to go that, you know, if X happens, then this team will win the league or they won't win the league. But it has that feeling of being a pivotal game for all different kinds of reasons, really. You know, if Liverpool win, could be difficult then for City to reel them in. As we speak, City are sort of title favourites, but if they lose the game to Liverpool, I think it becomes very difficult for them. If it's a draw, then maybe Arsenal are the team celebrating most if they do their work, because it means that, you know, both teams will have dropped points. If City win, if they're able to overcome their Anfield hoodoo that I'm sure we'll get onto at some stage, the deflation that will bring to the other two teams, there will just be that sense of, oh God, here comes City again. You know, they're
inevitability.
Exactly. So I feel, even though we're in March and it's not even Cheltenham yet, it feels like a huge game at the top of the Premier League. And it's not the only one in March. It's March Madness, isn't it? The college basketball
tournament that
kind of grips the nation of America. City have got their own March Madness with this game. they've got this game away to Liverpool, and at the end of the month they've got Arsenal at home. I think once we get into April, certainly from City's point of view, if they're top by then, I mean, it'll feel like curtains for the rest.
Well, let's have a look at the title race prices. Manchester City are favourites at 10-11, Liverpool 9-4, Arsenal 7-2. The injuries that Liverpool are kind of facing, it factored into that price, Mark, because I must say, when I looked at the prices and Liverpool's recent form, it felt quite big, but they've got a lot to do with a thin squad at the moment.
Thin, but starting to get thicker again. Salah's back in training. obviously Nunez came back against Nottingham Forest, scored that very dramatic winner. So Szoboszlai has been sort of back involved with the first team. Hendo's injury didn't appear as serious as it first was, but it's still not the Liverpool and the squad I think that Jurgen Klopp would want for such a hectic period of the season. Europa League, we're speaking before their trip to Prague on Thursday. They've got a small matter of FA Cup quarterfinal against Manchester United as well to come in March. So you would prefer it, obviously, to have all of your players ready and available at this point. I think that's unrealistic. As the season goes on, you will get injuries. It's just, is Salah 100%? When's Trent back and is he at 100%? And Alisson, for all that Kelleher has come in and done a solid job, and in the EFL Cup final, a very good job of replacing Alisson, there's no doubt who you would rather have in goal. You know, if one person's going to make a mistake, it's far more likely to be Kelleher than it is Alisson. So there are definitely injury problems. I think in terms of the fixtures that they've got left, I think Liverpool have got the best of those, that they had the majority of their hard away games already done earlier on in the season. I remember we were talking about that on Bet's Club sort of when at that point it was in the market without Manchester City, because it's just assumed that they would win it. And I was going, oh, I fancy Liverpool because they've already got a lot of their hard games out of the way. So they've got the easier end of the fixtures. We spoke about City's sort of tricky games. And from Arsenal's point of view, they've got to go to City. They've got to go to Spurs. There are another couple of sort of hard ones in there for them as well. So, I think Liverpool would still be my second choice to Manchester City. And I think because of their the more comfortable set of remaining games, I think they are more likely to sort of keep pace or maybe even sort of usurp City come the end of the campaign.
Well, I know, Mark, you sometimes are sort of birthday gifts, like to slip a bet slip inside of a birthday card. If I was to do the same for you, and it was either Manchester City, Liverpool or Arsenal to win the Premier League on that bet slip, which would you most like to open?
Well, I mean, the City one doesn't feel that exciting, does it, at 10 to 11? Oh, he's a tenner.
Depends how much I like you, Mark, and stick on it for you.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather Manchester City. I mean, we should touch on Arsenal. I know we'll get to their game against Brentford. I mean, they're very much in the thick of the race. I've spoken about those difficult away games that they've got that, you know, are definitely far from easy for them. I also just wonder with Arsenal, and not the first time I've said this, just on the squad depth. Last season, when Saliba got injured, that defence that's done so well this season, and particularly in recent months, just didn't look the same. And you just wonder whether one injury sort of devastates them again, because Man City have had Stones out, they've had Haaland out, they've had De Bruyne out, and they're still there. Liverpool, spoken about all of their injuries, they're still there. I'm not saying Arsenal have had a clear run with injuries, because they haven't. And, you know, but someone like Timber was expected to be an important part of their campaign. Maybe he comes back. But like, if Rice got injured now, you wouldn't fancy him, I don't think, would you?
No, absolutely not. Well, just quickly back on Manchester City, what did you make of the derby last weekend? Obviously, City won it, and I think everyone did expect that to happen. But the first half didn't quite go to the script.
No, I mean, the game played out how I expected. Unfortunately, the tip was a loser, because I said first goal to come after 22 minutes, and Rashford smashed one in off the bar, didn't he? Sort of Yeboah style.
It was a great goal. Really?
It was a fabulous goal. But the actual kind of tempo of the game and the rhythm of the game was how I expected. Almost feel like you should get your money back if you're right at times. Yeah, City had to be patient. I felt like they were moving United around and that it was a matter of time. I was confident at heart. Easy to say now, obviously it does feel after timing, but I was confident at half time they would still get the win. And yeah, I wasn't surprised that they turned it around. And by the end, if you actually look at the stats, I mean, they pummeled United and controlled large chunks of the game. Haaland's missed an open goal as well. So, no, I was, I felt from City's point of view, it was a perfectly fine and acceptable performance, even if they were it was sort of made to look like they worked hard for it.
Come on then, let's get your selection for this one. I called it big in the lead up. You told me off, so I'll call it for a tip for this huge game.
Yeah, absolute humdinger, isn't it, that we've got? I'm going to go for Man City to win. Yeah, they have won, was it 16 in their last 17 matches now? I've got in my notes 15 of 16, but then they beat Copenhagen as well on Wednesday night with a reserve team. They're moving through the gears, I think. De Bruyne, Haaland, sort of getting back to full sharpness. Phil Foden is in the form of his life. City hadn't won at Anfield in 18 years in the Premier League. And then they won during COVID when the fans weren't there. So you have to put an asterisk next to that. It wouldn't be right to say it. So they have got to overcome this fear factor of going to Anfield. Since COVID, they've gone there twice in the league, lost one and drawn one. And I felt at times Pep Guardiola, and he gets accused of this a lot, has overthought that trip to Anfield and made some bizarre team selections and choices. Laporte played at left back, I remember, in the Champions League game, for instance. If City play with the kind of their best team, I feel like this is a good opportunity for them to win a game against a Liverpool team that's not got everybody fit. Even some of the key players that are coming back, we can't trust that they're at 100%. And for all that Kelleher has done really well stepping in for Alisson, I don't know. This is the kind of game where I would want Alisson in goal, because he's the best one. You know, when it comes to one-on-ones, there's nobody better in the world at saving them than Alisson. And City, with Foden, with De Bruyne, they pick holes and get themselves into those type of positions. And yeah, I can see City winning the game. I don't think it will be easy. The prices you reference, I mean, there might be a bit of 13 to 10 about. That would be about the limit of where I would back City. I wouldn't want to go too much shorter than that. But at that price, I'd probably just about prefer them.
Okay, really looking forward to it. Plenty more of the Premier League games to get through. We'll do that now. Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe. Saturday, 12:30, Manchester United against Everton. United 5-6, 13-5 the draw, 3-1 Everton. A bounce back required for Manchester United here.
No team in the Premier League has more ups and downs, do they, than Manchester United? It's like, they're a disaster. Oh, actually, they're quite good. And that just seems to happen throughout the season. What I would say about United is that against the lower clubs, they're actually quite reliable. Won 7 of their 8 games against the bottom 6. They also beat Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup. I'm going to go for Manchester United to win this game. Sounds like Højlund might be back. That's a double boost, because it enables kind of Rashford to play out on the left-hand side. And Højlund's in fantastic form himself. And Everton, you know, had most of the game against West Ham, but their problems are obvious. They just don't score enough goals. So Man United to win.
Okay, let's have a look through the 3 o'clock games. We'll start with Bournemouth against Sheffield United. I mean, Sheffield United, Mark, I did love Arteta's comments post-match on Monday and said it's a great win because Bramall Lane's a difficult place to go. And what, have they lost 5-0 twice or 3 times, 8-0? I mean, talk about a false statement there. But God, it's worrying times for Sheffield United. I mean, look, the money they've spent compared to the likes of Arsenal, they're going to get beat more than they win.
Yeah, that is the problem, Jack. It's the manner of the defeats. And I think Arteta, while he can't go, Bramall Lane is easy this season, everyone's winning there, he's right in as much as I think that you would have expected it, wouldn't you? When Sheffield United came up, when they were up before, you felt like you were in a battle at Bramall Lane. And even if you won, you were made to work hard for it. That's not happening now. Mm. And whether heads have dropped, players just not good enough, probably a combination of
there
both.
There was sort of a mini revival, wasn't there, when they changed the manager. There was a couple of weeks where, I think we were even saying on here, like, they look slightly better, and then since then it's really gone to pot.
Yeah, it has. And you'd hope for a reaction. You'd hope Wilder's able to get something out of them. I'm going to go for Bournemouth -1 though, because you know Sheffield United have lost 10 of their 13 league away games this season. They've been in shambles at the back, and I'm not sure how you pick them up after that sort of latest humiliation. It's not the first, and yeah, it might not even be the last this season either. They've got that sort of, they're kind of closing in, aren't they, on that Swindon record of conceded goals for the season. It was over 100, wasn't it? So I mean, yeah, they've got to sharpen up, but I mean, they'll be picked off by the Cherries.
Okay, worrying times there. Crystal Palace Luton is the next game we'll preview. 8-11 the home side, 14-5 the draw, 7-2 Luton. Mark, how are you seeing this one?
I'm going to go for Luton or draw, double chance. I saw Palace last week at Spurs, and if someone would have said to me Roy Hodgson's in charge, I would have nodded. They played a different formation, back five, or they allegedly it was 3-4-3, but it was 5-4-1, and was no different to anything that was served up under Hodgson, as far as I could see. Pressed slightly higher, but not that much. Scored a great goal from the Eze free kick, but offered nothing from open play. Deserve to lose the game, and 8-11, easily enough to pass them over against a Luton team that carries a goal threat. They've scored in their last 14 games, so if they score, if you're needing Palace to get two, and they're not a team I can trust to score two goals with Elise out at the moment.
Okay, Roy Hodgson's still there. Imagine if he is just sort of lurking in the background. Let's take a look at Wolves against Fulham. 6-4 Wolves, 12-5 the draw, 17-10 Fulham. Mark, how are you seeing this one playing out?
I thought Wolves would have been stronger favourites. So I'm going to go for Wolves draw, no bet. Last week's game against Newcastle, easily forgiven as far as I'm concerned from Wolves. And they lost a game 3-0 in terrible conditions as well. But when I look back at it now, and I did tip Wolves to get a positive result in that game, I think I made a mistake in as much as that it was quick turnaround from the FA Cup win over Brighton, which looked like it took its toll. Xhel Gomez went down on the day of the game, so wasn't able to play. Gary O'Neill took off Saar and Neto because he said they were struggling. He also said afterwards it was precautionary, so it looked like they'd just given up on that game almost. It was done. This is an opportunity for them. They're usually very strong at Molineux. Fulham are in good form at the moment, had the win at United. They beat Brighton. I would just say about that Brighton game, if you look at the Brighton team, they rotated heavily because of the Europa League. So I wouldn't read too much into that.
Okay, Arsenal against Brentford. This one's Saturday at 5:30. Arsenal falls on 11-2, the draw, 10-1. Brentford, amazing this really, Mark. I think if this had been played, I don't know, last season, you wouldn't have got 10-1 about Brentford, would you?
No, well, Brentford caused Arsenal problems last season. Do you remember they got that controversial goal at the Emirates where there was, I feel like there was it was something to do with the offside where the VAR sort of did miss something in terms of the offside goal.
You're doing a Steve Palmer here, Mark, on me, and
oh sort of no, I don't go
recall a niche sporting reference from sort of 14 years ago.
I'm not going to ask you to remember something that Eddie McGoldrick did for the Gunners. Don't worry. So I'm going to go for this game, Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals. We've seen the sort of goal crazy Gunners probably cover this line on their own, as well as that Sheffield United game that was easy, and you can sort of go all through kind of what went wrong for the Blades on that occasion. Even in the last three home games, Arsenal have got 12 goals. Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Liverpool, all been spanked to varying degrees. And Brentford are missing loads of players at the back. Ben Mee, the latest one to go down. And I think I was reading that effectively it's their sort of entire first choice defence from the sort of what they would have considered from the start of the season is unavailable for this game. Brentford have scored in 10 in their last 11 league games, so they do offer a counter-attacking threat. So two ways to win this one: Arsenal cover the line themselves, or maybe sort of Arsenal win but Brentford also get on the score sheet.
Okay, let's move on to Sunday's action. 1 o'clock sees Villa hosting Tottenham. 13-10 Villa, 3-1 the draw, 13-8 Spurs. What will the mood be like around the Sunday roast table in the Langdon household?
I'm at Centre Parks.
How are you?
But Sunday.
Oh, you live a life, don't you?
Could draw a lot. I'm not sort of, you know, sort of the ultimate way of showing off is to go there during the school holidays, isn't it? And that sort of doing
that's
well. So for the but I've planned the Sunday around the football. That's just the way it is. This is a big game for both teams in terms of top four. I would say, given the magnitude of the game and the fact that neither team, it sounds stupid, doesn't it, say, well, you won't want to lose. No team ever wants to lose a game, but such a big game. I think a draw keeps them both relatively where they want to be for this season. I think, therefore, the draw is overpriced at around 3-1. And if you look at Tottenham away from home in the big games this season, they've drawn at City, drawn at Arsenal, drawn at Manchester United. They've also scored in the last 38 Premier League games. So clearly got a goal in them. Aston Villa have bounced back from their mini wobble, but this is a tougher game than Fulham, than Luton, than Nottingham Forest. I think Ollie Watkins will cause Tottenham problems. I think Son will cause Villa problems. The goal line, interestingly, for this game has moved. Normally it's over under 2.5. It's at 3.5 for this game.
Oh, really?
And I think that's why the draw is a bigger price as what it is. But even, you know, Tottenham, in all their big away games, I said, like, they had sort of 2-alls or 3-alls. So even if it is a high-scoring game, I still think the draw's a decent runner.
OK, a couple of games out on Sunday at 2 o'clock. We shall start with Brighton against Nottingham Forest. 8-11, Brighton 3-1. The draw 10-3, Nottingham Forest. I think all of the earlier games on Sunday at the moment, a 3-1 the draw. We'll start with Brighton against Forest. We've spoken a lot about Brighton this season, Mark, in a sense. I think European football has distracted them somewhat from Premier League focus. But one would expect this to be a job done for Brighton.
No, I don't think so. I think that the European sort of, you know, and rightly so, they've worked so hard to get into Europe. It's crazy when teams fight for 38 games to get into Europe and then mug off the Europa League to try and do the same thing again in the Premier League. I'm glad that Brighton are enjoying it and that they're having a good run. We're speaking before their trip to Rome on Thursday for, you know, they've had some great games, haven't they, already? Ajax and Marseille. You know, it's been a great run for them. De Zerbi showed his hand against Fulham. I've already mentioned it, but he rotated for that game. I expect he'll do the same again because they've got the return leg against Roma on Thursday. And Brighton, they've played 6 games after European matches so far this season. They've won 1. So I'm going to go for Nottingham Forest or draw double chance.
Okay. West Ham against Burnley, 8-13. West Ham 3-1 the draw, 4-1 Burnley. Burnley must be happy, Mark, that the attention is somewhat off them now that Sheffield United have sort of collapsed. Can you see them getting anything here?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a half a sniff because... is that what I'm saying? They've got a sniff or they've got half a chance. Mixed metaphors there. I think they've got some chance because West Ham's focus might be on Europe. Spoke about Brighton and what it means to them. Same for West Ham. They're in the middle of the doubleheader against Freiburg. So potentially David Moyes rests a few players. I think that's you don't want to be heading down the route of backing the Hammers. You know, Paquetar doesn't play in Kudos and you know, maybe Bowen. All of a sudden it becomes a bad bet. I'm not saying he will rest all of those, but you know, you just got to tread carefully. I think for Burnley, the attention's not on them as much as Sheffield United because they are playing better than Sheffield United. Against Bournemouth, watch that game on Sunday. On another day, they win that game. I thought they were unlucky. For this game, I'm going for over 2.5 goals. I mentioned West Ham's focus could be on sort of the return game against Freiburg. Burnley have conceded 60 goals this season. That's why they're going to get relegated. But they might be able to hit the target here.
OK, Monday Night Football, Chelsea against Newcastle, 17-20. Chelsea 3-1, the draw 13-5, Newcastle. And I think going into this game, Mark, I was thinking, hey, how do we sum Chelsea up? And you described the ups and the downs of Manchester United. And I was going to say Chelsea being similar, but there's not been many ups, have there?
No, very many more downs for them. And they've played well in the majority of the big games this season. They seem to have played better than what they have than most of the others. it depends how you categorize this game, I suppose, against Newcastle. Bit mid-table, isn't it? Really, in terms of where both teams are. I'm going to go for Newcastle or draw double chance here. So Chelsea not to win the game. They're marooned in mid-table. They're stuck on 36 points. It's four fewer than Newcastle. Fans turned on Pochettino, and there were some choice words as well to Todd Boehly in that game against Brentford last week when they drew 2-2. Home advantage, therefore, is on the wane for Chelsea. If the fans are not up for it, if they're not behind the team, not behind the owner, not behind the manager, that's music to the ears, isn't it, of the away team. So, yeah, I'll go for Newcastle not to lose.
What do you think that the summer has in store for Chelsea? I mean, you know,
I saw Thomas Tuchel was being linked with the job this morning.
Wow. I mean, do you think they will make a change in terms of the head coach?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd be leaning towards yes if they don't win the FA Cup. And it depends who's available, doesn't it? And whether Thomas Tuchel is somebody that Chelsea fans like. Obviously, you know, we won the Champions League with him. It's difficult not to like him if you're a Chelsea fan. He would solve one of their problems. He wouldn't solve all of them, but he'd solve one of them, at least in the short term. I don't. It's how much of it is Pochettino's fault?
What problem does he solve?
Well, the fact that fans don't like Pochettino, and so that you kind of owners will all. If you put the pressure on the owner, the way to deflect that is to make a popular decision. That would be a popular decision, but it doesn't solve the imbalance in the squad that is clear to just about anybody that has sort of watched Chelsea and the way that the sort of team was put together, that you can't buy a whole team of youngsters from around the world and just chuck them all together and hope that it works. I mean, that's just not, you know, Liverpool in recent weeks have shown that you are able to play the young players. They can thrive in certain situations, but you're not asking them to do it every week, and they're in a stable environment. And you've got Virgil van Dijk, and you've got sort of other experienced players around them. At Chelsea, the only player of huge experience is Thiago Silva, who has, one, been injured, but two, when he does play, I think he's showing his age. And so they haven't got anybody in that sweet spot of being experienced, but also at the level where they're able to take everybody with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan Childs up next to talk all things EFL. Stick around. We've got Mark's best bets at the end of the show. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Great to be joined alongside Dan Childs once more. Dan, I think Mark might be coming for your job. You know, he's been really loving the EFL last couple of weeks. I'm slightly concerned that he's a bit jealous that you get to watch this week in, week out.
Nice. It's very exciting in a lot of the divisions at the moment. I mean, the Championship relegation battle is, you know, completely nuts at the moment, isn't it? And at the top as well, you've got four teams, you know, really going now for those top two spots. You know, you go right through the leagues, so, you know League Two, the battle for the playoffs there. It's a nice and exciting season.
It's remarkable. There's a couple of sides in the Championship, probably Bristol City, Watford, Borough, Sunderland, who could quite feasibly either get in the playoffs or go down. It's that tight. It's split by such fine margins. Let's go to the top of the table, Dan, and we'll zoom in on Leicester. And I think everyone probably a month ago would have said Leicester are going to go clear. There's no concerns. It's all good. And then a little bit of a sticky patch has occurred. They're 3 points clear of second place Ipswich Town, and things have tightened up a little bit. What's your angle in on Leicester? Are you still, you know, calm that they'll get the job done, or should people, particularly with anti-post punts on Leicester, start to be a little bit concerned?
I mean, I put them up at the start of the season, but I still think they'll get the job done. I think they'll finish top. I must admit, I had a bit of a wobble a couple of weeks ago, and the big game at Leeds. I tipped Leeds to win that game, and they won the game, but I think I was very lucky watching the match. And it's weird, I watched the game, and even though Leicester lost, I actually felt more confident about their chances for the rest of the season after watching that game than I was before the start of it, because for 75 minutes, they played Leeds really off the park, and the poor decision to disallow the goal that would have had them go 2-0 up. They could have ended up, the way the game was going, they could have won the game literally 3 or 4 nil, and it wouldn't have been an unfair scoreline the way the game was going. And it just got done with equalised with 15 minutes to go. A crowd got up, real bad. You're lucky to sort of a couple of deflected goals as well, you know, two of the three Leeds goals, and it was just one of them finishes. But they then went and lost again, didn't they? Home to QPR the game after. The shot count in that game again was massively in Leicester's favour, as it was for the previous the game before the Leeds game when they lost 2-1 home to Middlesbrough. They battered Middlesbrough that game and lost, but they have had a couple of key players out that's not been helping as well. Vestergaard's, you know, just completed a 2-match ban. Ndidi's been injured for a while. You know, just a few. Ricardo Pereira, I think, have been a very underrated player for them this season. He's been out as well, injured the last couple of games. So I do think there's been reasons for the dip. But you look at now, I think the game at Sunderland this midweek, apparently they didn't play very well at all, got a 1-0 win. But I think at this stage, just to just end that three-game losing streak and get the win is massive. Vestergaard's now served his suspension. And Ndidi came off the bench in that game. So they're going to be stronger straight away for the game at Hull on Saturday. And I'll go back to that Leeds game. The way they played in that game in a high-pressure match, even though they lost, I was so impressed with them. And I just don't see them now. You look at the rest of the season, the only other team they got among the top four that got to play is at home to Southampton. After that, got a lot of very winnable matches. And I do think they'll not only go up automatic, I think they'll do enough to win the title.
So let's assume that Leicester are one of the top two then. Who joins them between Ipswich, Leeds and Southampton?
I would probably edge towards Leeds at the moment, not with massive confidence. I just think they score a lot of goals, you know, got three or four forwards that have got into double figures already. Some of who are really right. He has gone off the ball a little bit the last few weeks. Willie Nonto's a bit hit and miss, but, you know, a very, very talented player. Dan James often don't get in the side, but he's into double figures goals for the season. Routier, one of the top assisters in the division. They've got so much going forward. Bamford's a decent striker as well for that level, you know, when he's fit, which is, you know, not always the case. But I do think that with their Elland Road form, still not lost at home, and that goal threat they've got, it will just be enough. Ipswich have had a fantastic season. They're coming again now. You know, got on a winning run. I just think they may. I mean, the Bristol City, they were 2-1 down, weren't they, after 80 minutes on Tuesday. Come back, got a couple of late goals, won the game. But I do think they'll just fall short, Ipswich, for the automatic. Southampton, I think, a little bit further back. They could come again with another run, as they did early in the season, but maybe left themselves a little bit too much to do.
Okay, well, if you're sitting on a Leicester anti-post slip, calm down. Deep breaths. It'll all be fine, according to Dan Childs. Three selections this weekend. Dan, what's the first one?
Yeah, we'll drop into League One. Oxford, I fancy, at home to the Cheltenham. They're Oxford, a shade of odds on here. They're another team that's had a bit of a wobble at the moment. They've dropped outside the League One playoffs, seventh now, but only 3 points below Stevenage. And a little bit like I mentioned Leicester, when a team can lose a game but play well and maybe come out of it with more belief. Oxford went to Portsmouth last weekend, lost 2-1, but they played some really, really good football. And I think they would have come out of that game with a lot more belief than they had before they went into it. They have been getting a lot of their key players back now, got a much healthier squad than they had a few weeks ago. Oxford probably just need a win to kickstart them. And this looks a really good opportunity for me. Cheltenham were looked gone for all money, didn't they, after their start to the season. Darryl Clark came in. He's done a fantastic job just to get them in with a chance of staying up. But they have had a dip the last few games, four games without a win. Looked like they're almost running out of legs the last few weeks. The energy level seemed to have dropped. They lost 3-1 at home to Cheltenham on Tuesday. I just think it's a really good time to play Cheltenham at the moment. And a game for me, good game for Oxford to get back on track for their playoff push.
OK, Oxford first up. Two more to go. Who's next?
Yeah, stick with League One. Relegation battle. Shrewsbury going away to Port Vale. I think Shrewsbury, draw no bet here at shade of odds against, is a decent bet. Shrewsbury lost the last two games, lost 2-0 at home to Blackpool last Saturday, but they have been picking up some results away from home. Look at the thinking about the draw they got at Derby, 1-1 last month, 1-2-0 away to Northampton, 3-2 away to Reading, who have been like one of the form teams in League One since the start of the year. So they're getting some results away from home. Generally, I do think their performances have improved under Paul Hurst, who's gone in there for a second spell. They're a little bit more attacking now, more of a goal threat. And I just think this is a good game for them to have at the moment. Port Vale dropped to third bottom, no winning 11 at the moment. No sign really of a new manager bounce at all under Darren Moore, who's gone in there. I think he got a 5.5-year contract, but suggests that it's a long term sort of project there. But I think in the short term they could be heading back down to League Two. So Shrewsbury draw no bet for me.
Okay, and the third and final pick for this weekend.
Yeah, going to drop into League Two now. Two teams with an outside chance, Accrington and Bradford, have still squeezing into them playoffs in that mad playoff race in League Two. Accrington 16th, Bradford 15th, but they're both outside chance of the playoffs. Bradford for me for this one to win the game 5-4 away from home. I think it's the odds at the moment. Bradford, you need, if you're going to come from a bit off the pace, you need some momentum. Bradford have got 10 points from the last four games, so they're going the right way. Accrington are kind of going the other way. Lost 4-0 away to Wrexham last weekend. John Coleman, I felt sorry for him, lost his job after that game. Done a fantastic job over a couple of spells at Accrington over the years. I think this season, with the division being as strong as it was with Notts County and Wrexham coming up, really strong division, the chances of Accrington getting back up to League One are always going to be tough. And their injury situation has been a nightmare. They've regularly had between 10 to 15 players injured. The injury list at the moment is as big as it's been all season. So I think at the moment, John Doolan's come in to take interim charge from John Coleman. I think this is a tricky first game for him, and I'd take Bradford to get the points.
Okay, Oxford, Shrewsbury, draw no bets, and Bradford, the picks for Dan this week. And stay calm with Leicester. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Yeah, big thanks to Dan, as always. A really exciting weekend ahead in the EFL after an action-packed midweek docket as well. We shall start, Mark, for this weekend with a bet builder. Which game is it coming in?
I felt obliged to do it in Liverpool versus Manchester City. If I would have done it in Crystal Palace versus Luton, you might have had a go at me. So we're going to go for Endo to be carded. He's had 9 cards already this season. One of those was against Manchester City when he was only on the pitch for 5 minutes at the Etihad. That defensive midfield role against City is all important because of the positions that De Bruyne takes up, and if Foden comes inside and all of that. So he's got a hard job for 90 minutes. I'm going to go for Bernardo Silva to be carded. He's had 6 yellows. I don't know if you ever noticed he's got beef with Liverpool fans. He always seems to be really worked up at Anfield. he gets the bird from the Liverpool fans, and he runs around even more than usual in this game. He's I don't know where it comes from. Might have been that game where the bus got attacked. So he seems to be sort of on a one-man mission job. I listened to the radio after the game, the City United game, and I went out to get the Chinese, and you'll be pleased to know Jack, as always, went for the spare ribs for lunch the next day. But I was listening to it, and Dion Dublin had been the co-commentator, and he was he's just a special player. He's ran the game. And I assumed he was talking about Phil Foden. It turns out he was talking about Bernardo Silva. And I was thinking, I thought he did okay in the Manchester derby, but he definitely wasn't the shining light. It was definitely Phil Foden. Picked up the Chinese, jumped back in the car. So, 5-6 minutes later, Dion Dublin's talking about Bernardo Silva again and how important he was in the Manchester derby. I mean, I'm not missing anything there. My Foden was the clear best player, and that leads into my final bet for the final leg of the bet builder. It's Foden to score or assist in the absolute form of his life. Played brilliantly just for so much of this campaign. 7 goals and 2 assists in his last 8, rested against Copenhagen. So the bet builder comes in around about 18-1. So Hendo to be carded, Bernardo Silva to be carded, Phil Foden to score or assist.
Couple of things we've learned off of that monologue, Mark. One, Dion Dublin clearly sees a different side of football to yourself. And two, surprised you pick your Chinese up and it's not delivered. I thought a man of your class would sort of have it delivered to the front door.
No, I'd, no, I'd,
Any conscious reasoning there? Or
I can control the delivery time if I turn up at the shop. But the amount of times, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you're still waiting an hour later. I'm not having any of that.
You can control the controllables. Nice. Yeah. We've got a treble before the nap. Talk us through the three teams this week.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted the sort of special fried rice, chicken balls and sort of chili beef. But the treble is Manchester United to beat Everton. Just fill the toffees, nothing up front. 8 goals in 12 games. Bournemouth to beat Sheffield United. Sheffield just... I mean, that defence is horrendous. And then I'm going to go for Southampton to beat Sunderland. It comes in a little bit under 3-1, this treble. I've obviously spoken about United and Bournemouth already. I'll just sort of mention the Southampton one. Sunderland, we opposed them last week, as you referenced right at the top, against Norwich. They've lost 8 of their last 11 games. I'm told that, like, Leicester should have been out of sight early on in that game up at Sunderland in midweek. Southampton were due to have one less day to prepare for the game, but their midweek game was called off to a there was a fire in the local area. And just from a sort of purely football point of view, obviously that to me is a kind of fillip for sort of the teams. You don't want to play Wednesday, Saturday. I don't like that mixture. It's not great. So they've had the midweek off. And so, I mean, that gives Saints an even better chance of beating Sunderland. I'm half hoping they don't win because I want the Ipswich to go up automatically. And I could do with Southampton sort of dropping off as well as Leeds. But I think it's a presentable opportunity to beat Sunderland.
No, you're spot on. I must say, I was thinking about you when I saw that game had been postponed, because you definitely want, at this stage in the season, points on the board as
opposed to
games in hand. They weren't great. They weren't great, and, you know, injuries haven't helped them. I think the weather was awful on Saturday, like torrential rain. It almost played into Sunderland's hands a bit, because they could sort of scrap it out a bit and just get a bit brutal with it. But yeah,
when you go to a third, when you're on a third manager of the season, things have not gone well. That's fair to say.
So yeah, Southampton, it'll be interesting to see how they finish under Russell Martin. Okay, that's the treble, just under 3-1. We had a winning nap last week. Let's follow it in with another winner this week, Mark.
Hopefully, at Selhurst Park, I'm going for Luton or draw, double chance. So the Hatters not to lose. Love the way that Rob Edwards' side never take a backward step. They've got goals in them. They're confident in their ability to be able to score in games now. Against Aston Villa, they were punished. Against Manchester United, they were punished. Against Man City, they were punished by, I think, the quality of those teams and what they've got in the final third. Palace, outside of Eze, just don't have that. So, In a game where Crystal Palace, I think you said they're about 8-11, I just need, if I'm backing a team 8-11, I need to be confident in their ability to score goals. And I'm just not with Crystal Palace. And I'm sure in time, Glasner will stamp his authority on the club and bring about change in personnel and also the dynamic of the team. And he won his first game. That was against the Burnley team that was reduced to 10 men at the time. The score was 0-0. So I think Luton have got a reasonable chance here of getting something from Selhurst Park.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Luton will draw double chance the nap after the winning nap for Norwich City last weekend. Mark, you mentioned you're off to centre back. Have you sort of had to remortgage to afford all the various activities?
I'm keeping the activities. They're on the calmer side this year. It's my sister's, you love the fact that it seems to be a family member's birthday
every weekend.
Sister's 40th this weekend, hence the trip. And Saturday night is a murder mystery sort of traitors style night.
Are you going to dress up as sort of Claudia Winkleman or something?
Well, I've been told my character, I've forgotten the name of him, but he wears tweeds. I don't know if that was done on purpose for the Cheltenham vibe.
Yeah,
I'm not really a tweed wearer, so I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do. But yeah, I think there's rumours of the Joshua fight in one of the rooms on the Friday night, and then that on the Saturday. Football all day Sunday. I mean, it won't be that dissimilar to a normal weekend, just doing it in a lodge where I paid a fortune for the privilege.
Are you off to Cheltenham next week?
I'm not. No, no. Oh. It's too far, too difficult, too busy.
The sort of schmoozing with the bigwigs.
No, I'm going. I'm on Friday. I'm going to a pub in London, and will enjoy the Gold Cup as it's meant to be, sort of off work and just relaxing ahead of the weekend. So I'll be head down until Friday, and at least when you go to the into a local boozer or whatever, it's just about 4 hours less travel time than it's to Cheltenham. So that's my plan.
Well, and half the price for a pint, and you can actually get it within sort of a couple of minutes as opposed to half an hour. Mark, pleasure as always. A big thanks to Dan Charles as well. If you're following in on any of the selections, please remember to do so responsibly. And we will see you again next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.